You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're listening to the song Cut Me Some Slack from the album Sound City, Reel to Reel, which snagged a Grammy for Viroqua, Wisconsin native Butch Vig. The album is the soundtrack to Foo Fighter frontman Dave Grohl's documentary Sound City. Vig, who produced the album, walked away with his third Grammy last night, this one for Best Compilation Soundtrack for Visual Media.
And coming up, we'll talk with Cindy McCain about her push to strengthen human trafficking laws around the Super Bowl.
First, the Arctic blast hitting Wisconsin today probably feels pretty familiar to our next guests. This winter, the father-daughter team just came back from a wilderness adventure in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, where they lived and worked alongside the only year-round hunter-gatherers there, 130 miles above the Arctic Circle.
James Campbell and his daughter Aiden join us now. They're here to talk about their time in the Arctic winter. James is a Wisconsin writer and adventurer. Aiden is his 15-year-old daughter. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
And Aiden, so great to have you with us as well.
Thank you.
So you guys were guests on Wisconsin Public Radio before you set off for your adventure, and we're so glad you could come back and tell us what happened while you were up there. I'm sure people were dying of curiosity. So James, let's start with you. Can you set the stage for us, describe where you were and just how remote this place actually was?
Well, Haimo and Edna Korth, Haimo happens to be my first cousin. He's from Appleton. He went up there in the 70s. But he and Edna live in the middle of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in the southern foothills of the Brooks Range, 130 miles north of the Arctic Circle and 100 miles from the nearest neighbor, 200 miles from the nearest road. So they live more remotely, perhaps, than any family in North America.
My goodness. So how do you get there?
The bush plane is kind of the time machine in Alaska. It's the only way to reach Haimo and Edna's cabin on the Colleen River. It's 242 air miles from Fairbanks. So its Anchorage is closer to Fairbanks than Haimo and Edna's cabin is.
Wow. Well, so my next question is why? Why would you do this? Aiden, you're still in high school. This is challenging, I think, for anybody of any age. And, you know, to take your child somewhere that's dark, you know, they're in the period of round-the-clock darkness, I think, can be dangerous. What were you hoping to get out of a trip like this, Aiden?
Well, for me, it was quite an adventure, and I was happy to get out of school to go up to Alaska. Actually, coming back, it's been difficult to readjust. Life seems so mundane now compared to my adventure up in Alaska. But I learned a lot while I was up there. I think many people have a nostalgia for the simple way of life, and my grandfather always talks about his fondest memories growing up on a farm. But what they don't talk about as much is the work involved with that way of life. And every single day, there are things that have to be done, no matter the temperature, no matter the circumstances. You have to go get water. You have to chop wood. I mean, that way of life requires that. So
you went there to work with Haimo and Edna, his wife? So you were there to just sort of experience the wilderness?
Well, not entirely. I'm writing a book about it. I'm writing a book about the father-daughter bond. Oddly enough, there don't seem to be many father-daughter books. There are a lot of father-son books, but no father-daughter books. And I'm blessed with three daughters. So Aiden being the first. So I'm writing a book about the father-daughter bond and how that plays out in the wilderness and how kids, adults actually, and teenagers and young kids can learn from the wilderness, can learn lessons in common sense and independence and self-sufficiency, and also kind of the restorative powers of being in the outdoors that have gotten kind of short shrift in the modern world. But so this was kind of part and parcel of writing that book, and we're going to make four trips to the Arctic. We're working on a spring trip, and our really big one will be this summer.
Oh, okay. And is it all going to be with you, Aiden?
Yes, I get to come along. I'm my dad's sidekick. So.
Adventure sidekick.
Yeah.
So you were talking about the day-to-day work that went into just being there for 3.5 weeks. What was an average day like?
So, well, Haimo and Edna always go out on the trap line. Each of them have their own trap line. Edna is a walking trap line, has a walking trap line, and she sets snares, bunny snares, near the cabin and across the river, which I got to help out with, and she taught me how to snare bunnies. They're actually called snowshoe hares, but they call them bunnies up there. And Haimo goes out every day on the trap line, which can be 20-mile loop. It's on the river or in the woods.
In the mountains, yeah. But we got up early in the morning, and we had to split, we had to cut, split, and haul wood. We had to keep our tent warm. They had a little leaky wood stove in the tent. So Aiden knows all about that, getting up in the middle of the night. We got up five times a night to stoke it. We had to haul our water. We were out hunting or on the trap line every day. And as Aiden said before, it is just, it's work, work, and more work.
And it's winter.
And it's winter.
Another W. So it's work and winter. Can you put in perspective? So, you know, Wisconsinites, we're all freaking out about this weather. Aiden, you're out of school. Your school was canceled. Most schools are. How does this compare to the cold that you saw when you were above the Arctic Circle?
Well, as my dad said, today would be balmy where we were. But once you come back, you adjust pretty quickly. And This does feel cold. As a Wisconsinite, I'm cold right now. But the Alaskan Aiden says, oh, this is a wonderful day. Let's go out. Let's have fun. Why was school canceled?
Oh, wow. So wind chills must be pretty extreme, James, up there, I imagine.
Yeah. The coldest temperature we experienced, and we were lucky, was 40, 45 below. Mm. But last year, at this time of year, on the Colleen River, Haimo records temperatures, and it was 55 degrees below zero or colder for a five-week stretch. And you can imagine, I mean, that is just brutal cold. Plus, and that's not including wind chill, and because the Colleen River is a wide river valley, the wind whips off the Arctic Ocean and then off the Brooks Range and comes barreling down the river valley, and it is just like nothing I've ever experienced. It is just cold.
So imagine nothing showing. You have to just have every little patch of skin covered. Is that how you would dress?
Yes, you definitely layer up. I remember my dad was very protective and caring, and he'd dress me like a five-year-old in the morning, and he'd come over and hand me my hand warmers, hand me my foot warmers, help me get on my coat, my snow pants, my bunny boots, everything. You can't, every piece of skin is covered.
Were you ever scared up there? Were there moments where you thought, you know, this is a little bit much, and I think maybe Dad, you know, went around the bend on this one?
Well, I was scared, but I always had someone looking out for me, too. But there are many things to be scared of. I mean, it's such a foreign environment that cold is brutal, and there's always the fear of bears, which in
would
the winter
would it be polar bears up there?
Oh, winter grizzly bears.
Okay.
So, winter bears haven't taken in enough calories to go into hibernation. So we saw winter bear tracks, but luckily we never saw a winter bear. Those can be scary.
And what about you? I mean, being scared isn't something that only, you know, young feel.
No,
were you ever frightened up there, James?
Yeah, Haimo, you know, not being the alpha predator, being in grizzly bear country is, I don't know if you've ever experienced, but it is an unsettling feeling, regardless of how accustomed to the wilderness you are. And what Aiden didn't mention about her winter bear experience is that the winter bear does come out of hibernation because it hasn't taken in enough calories, but it is hungry, and it has to satisfy that hunger. So the first thing, it will stalk and kill a human being. And everybody fears the winter bear. But also, I was on the trap line with Haimo, and we would go by snow machine 20, 30 miles above the cabin. And we had some snow machine problems. We rolled the snow machine a few times.
What's a snow machine?
A snowmobile. They call it a snow machine up there because it's a work vehicle. It's not a tavern-to-tavern vehicle.
Right. See. Okay, that's different.
So we rolled it, and then we couldn't start it after that. We flooded it. And I thought, my God, we're going to have to walk, and on a number of occasions, 30 miles back to the cabin. Mm. And what we'd have to do is just strip off as many clothes as we could to keep and still stay warm and try to walk back to the cabin. Haimo's had to do that on countless occasions. Fortunately, we didn't have to do it. But that's very scary.
Oh, yeah, that would be. And the winter bear thing, that sounds like a whole new level of things to be concerned about. One bright spot, your birthday, right? You had your birthday up there.
At my age, I don't know if it's such a bright spot, but I guess maybe I should just be thankful for being around.
Tell us about your birthday meal.
Our birthday meal, we had caribou heart. They eat everything. That's the great sin up there, not to eat everything. Beaver tail and Alaskan king salmon. And Edna also made me a pie with cranberries. So we were sitting there and enjoying my birthday. They sang happy birthday to me very quickly. And all of a sudden, we heard the bush plane buzz us. We were 4 days late. He was 4 days late to get us because of winter weather. And he buzzed us. And Haimo got on the radio and said, what's going on? He said, I'm here to get him. And this is our only window of opportunity. Get him down there as fast as they can. It's 45 degrees below zero. The plane is going to freeze up. We're going to get ice on the wings, and we won't be able to take off. So Aiden and I just flew. We just threw everything we had into our bags. My wonderful birthday dinner was cut short, though. I still had slobber all over my chin and all over my ugly beard. And we flew back that night. It was really amazing. And I don't know if we have time, but I'd like to describe this. We took off on the gravel bar in the middle in complete darkness. It's like a sandbar. And then we circled. We went north to the Brooks Range and came back, and the only light for miles and miles and miles was Haimo and Edna's cabin light tucked there in the woods. And then we flew back by the light of the half moon back to Fairbanks. And as we neared the Yukon River, we saw some of the village lights of Chalkeetsuk and some of the other villages. And then we got over the White Mountains and eventually saw Fairbanks. But it was absolutely magical and surreal. And really a beautiful way to end our trip. But I didn't get to eat my entire meal. So
of caribou heart. And
right, exactly.
Beaver tail. Well, that right. does sound spectacular. Well, we're talking right now with James Campbell, Wisconsin native, and the author of The Final Frontiersman. Joining us is his 15-year-old daughter, Aiden, who went along for a 3.5-week adventure with her dad in the Arctic wilderness.
And you can join the conversation. If you're holed up now because of the cold weather today, you can ask your cold weather survival questions or find out what it's like way, way north of here. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email, talk@WPR.org.
We're talking with a father and daughter team who embrace the wild on a wilderness adventure to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. We're hearing about their journey and what the deep cold is like, even colder, I guess, farther north of here.
And you can join the conversation. If you have a question about what it's like to travel north of the Arctic Circle, or if you've done it, you can share your questions and your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org.
Now, Aiden and James, one thing we haven't talked about is the darkness. What was it like being in round-the-clock darkness, Aiden?
Well, the sun set on November 28th, and it won't rise again until late January. And it's like dusk, so it's gray, and you never see the sun. So we're so used to seeing that sun overhead, but it's not there. And sometimes you can see it's just struggling to come up over the horizon. And sometimes then you get kind of a rosy light that's beautiful, but you never see it. So,
but it's not pitch black, it sounds like.
It's a gray. Dusky. It's very gray.
It sounds moody. Did you get, I don't know, was it hard on your morale when it was, when there's no sun?
No, I don't really think, for me, I didn't have that issue. What happened? It's difficult to describe because it's a reflection. So you see the light, but you never see the sun.
So you just have to have faith.
Yes,
it's actually there.
What's that great word? The gloaming. That's kind of what it's like.
Constant gloaming.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Now, earlier, James, you mentioned there being a lot of literature out there speaking to father and son bonding. What's special about doing it with your daughters?
Well, I guess in part because it's just unconventional. I also always thought I would have sons, and I obviously didn't. But I wanted to always treat my daughters in a kind of gender neutral way. And I always thought, well, I would do this with my sons, so I certainly am going to do it with my daughter. And Aiden's been very game and very adventurous, and she's a great traveling partner. Not that there weren't issues, of course. We had our moments, and there were tensions, and we had our arguments, and I'm sure she thought I was the worst father in the world at times. But I think it's both challenged our friendship and enhanced our friendship. So I'm glad we could do this. Aiden might not feel the same, but I do.
Do you feel the same?
I do. I thought it was a great experience to have because when you're in that kind of environment, and especially you're in the cabin or in our case, in a tent with that person for 3.5 weeks, and there are only 3 other people up there. So you become very close with those people, and you depend on them to boost your morale. So we would have sheep's head games together at night, or we would go out walking, and Edna and I spent a lot of time together, and I think I became so close with Haimo and Edna and my dad when I was up there.
So lots of beautiful closeness that came out of being, you know, so isolated altogether. What drove you crazy about each other?
Oh, man. Let me count
the
ways.
Anything you can share on the radio? Yeah. Well, Aiden didn't want to get up and chip off the stove or something.
Well, you know, at night,
That's true.
At night, the fire, we had this tiny little wood stove, and it would burn through the wood so fast. And you'd light the stove, and you'd almost be cooked out of the tent. And then 45 minutes later, an hour later, you'd feel the cool kind of creeping in. And then an hour and a half later, you were bitterly cold. You know, we'd sleep through the coals and we'd have to get up and light the tent, light the stove again. And then Aiden and I worked out a system where she would light it once or twice a night, but I had to do it the majority
that
of the
fair.
Time.
That's wrong
yeah,
with that,
right.
Yeah.
That's fair. Right. And so we had our squabbles. But by and large, there were, you know, no big blowouts.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah. You're both still back here.
Mm-hmm.
So you've made the case that there's something special about doing it with your daughter, bringing your daughter on this adventure. But also the wilderness is part of this, isn't it? What is it that you see as being sort of the gift of sharing the wilderness with your child?
Well, last time we were here, Aiden talked about the wilderness letter that I gave her, Wallace Stegner's wilderness letter about why we need wilderness in our lives. And he talked about the geography of hope and the birth of awe, two lines that I absolutely love. But I think we all need wilderness in our lives. We need wildness in our lives. And Haimo certainly does. He's one of those guys that, as Alda Leopold said, can't live without wildness, as is Edna. But it's also just about getting out in your backyard. I mean, you don't have to go to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Just get out in your back woodlot or go to the park. And that just, it restores you physically, it restores you emotionally, or at least it does me. And I think Aiden could probably say the same thing.
What about you? What do you think your concept of the wilderness is after having gone up there a couple of times?
Well, it's not a place. Many people think of the wilderness as a place to contemplate these great ideas like humanity, one's life. But it involves a lot of work, too, living that way, as I said before. But there is something that the wilderness brings. Wallace Stegner said, especially for the young, it brings sanity into our insane lives. And I think that's true. It makes you think of the necessities, the only things you need, and that's what's truly important. And that's a lesson I learned up there.
So the necessities, so do you mean, I guess, the food, the shelter, the kind of square one things, or do you mean something bigger than that, too?
I think both the square one things. You can live without the luxuries. There's also the people you need and the people you rely on. I really, while I was up there, I was without my mom and my sisters, but I really depended on Haimo's wife, Edna. And she taught me, she told me she was going to make me into a woodswoman. And that was her goal. She's kept on saying, I'm going to make you tough. And she taught me how to set bunny snares, how to shoot a gun from a kneeling position. She taught me a lot while I was up there. But I think she taught me I could survive and be tough and be independent and self-reliant. And I think I learned a lot from her, and she's a very special person in my life.
Well, and there is a lot of craziness, I guess, in the world today, depending on how you feel about a lot of the modern technology, all the stuff when you're a teenager. There's Facebook and Twitter and, you know, Snapchat and what have you, and, you know, all the crazy social stuff that goes along with being a teenager in school. When you came back, had anything changed with the way you saw that or the way you saw yourself as part of that?
I think in a way it was a difficult transition for me. I came, you came, I while I was in Alaska, I was very nostalgic about life at home and my family and school. But when I came back, it was a difficult adjustment. I had to, it was the people. It was something you've experienced up there. Something had happened to me, and it was difficult to convey that. I lived through so many things, and I had so many adventures and crazy experiences that my life at home seemed boring and simple. And that's something I've gotten accustomed to, and now I like the mundaneness of it. But I miss Alaska and the adventures I've had up there.
What about you? What do you miss about Alaska, James?
Oh, man. I grew up thinking I was going to be a mountain man. And when I came of age, I went east to Connecticut. And they don't make mountain men in Connecticut. And so I never got to be a mountain man. So by being up there, I got in by being a part of that whole experience, both writing the first book and now this book. I get to live out a portion of my dream, and who would think that a middle-aged man could ever live out, you know, some childhood dream? So it's really been unique for me, and also just the astounding beauty. I mean, Haimo, they look onto the Brooks Range. You go 10 miles north, and you're in treeless tundra, and you're looking at the white, icy, snow-filled Brooks Range, and it is incredible.
Oh, sounds beautiful. Thank you for sharing it with us. For those of us who'll never make it, thank you for telling us about it. And thank you. Thank you, James.
Yeah, it's our pleasure.
And thank you, Aiden.
Thank you.
And thanks for making the trek on an icy Wisconsin day. James Campbell is a Wisconsin writer and adventurer. He and his daughter, Aiden, just returned from a wilderness adventure above the Arctic Circle.